Yeah, they're no strangers to this family. And I know many of you have actually attended some of the courses that they've presented here at the Healing Center, and those have been amazing. But guys, you know what this is about. This is about equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. And we've been speaking about the Healing Center nearly every weekend. And you know that we can't do this alone. We've got the Holy Spirit, and that's the most important thing. But he's also, the way God works is he raises up the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists and the teachers and the pastors and those that equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. And that's what this weekend is about. It's about equipping so that the kingdom can come through your lives in other people's lives. And so that's really what we're about this weekend. And so Derek and Beryl have been doing this longer than some of us have been alive, okay? So if there's, in my mind, if there's one couple that that we could be blessed with to come and share their hearts with us, it's this couple. And so I'm very expectant. Not because they're amazing, because Jesus in them, the Holy Spirit in them is amazing. And they're amazing too, but I'm really trusting that the Lord is just going to drop little gold nuggets all over the weekend, and that we'd be faithful to go and run and pick those up and take them for ourselves. And so, Derek and Beryl, we had a good session with the elders last night. We had a meal up here in the Healing Center, and we, as the elders, just connected with their hearts and just formally received them, welcomed them, blessed them, released them, said they can swing from the chandeliers if they want. So we might do a bit of chandelier swinging this weekend. Possibly in the spirit, but definitely in the spirit, but they released, they are going to bless you. So Derek and Beryl, we bless you. We receive you. Let's give them a hand.
Good evening, everybody. It is actually wonderful to be worshiping the Lord with everybody together and not just at home over Zoom. And I thank God for that. And I was, as I was thinking about it, as I was sitting there, I was wondering, you know, we've given into the government and we said, yeah, we'll be part of the not spreading the virus, so we stayed at home. But if anybody came and any government came to say to us, you cannot meet together to worship God, then I think we'll have a rebellion on our hands. Yeah, and so I think this is something that we can really thank God for, that we can still rejoice and meet together as Christians, loving the Lord. This is my beautiful wife, Beryl. She's been my wife now for, we calculated, we actually had to go back and actually do some finger counting. This year it'll be 55 years. Yeah. When I was younger, I never ever thought this would be ever possible. Yeah, and I don't think you thought so either. But we'll just tell us a little bit about ourselves.
Well, as I was sitting there, I have to be obedient to the Holy Spirit first. And I want you to point your finger at yourself. And I want you to say, it starts with me. And I just felt the Lord say that tonight, because he showed me a chain with lots of links on it. They were gold chain. And I just saw him putting these links together, and he put it around his neck. And I just felt he's building a team here. He's building a team here of gold. And he's going to carry it around his neck. And it starts with us. It starts with us and our relationship with Jesus. So I was so excited to get that word. Whenever I get a word from the Lord, don't you get excited? You're like a little child. You want to jump up and down and scream and, wow, Lord, thank you. Thank you for speaking to me. And I'm going to speak a lot about the Holy Spirit, because I love the Holy Spirit leading me, because Jesus sent him to us. And that's the way we minister all the time. But what I want to say now is, we have been married many, many years. We're very old. And we've been around the block, but we're going strong. We are not retiring. We are refiring. And we want to hit the gates of heaven running one day. So, holding hands, obviously. What I want to say is we've got two children, and we've got five grandchildren. And we've just this year become a Gigi. I heard in Shofar you call yourself a Gigi. I didn't know it was that, but it's a great grandie. Not many people are Gigi's. How many people here are Gigi's? Put up your hands. Are there any Gigi's here? No Gigi's. Derek, we Gigi's. The only Gigi's. Yeah. And so I've got part of the family living up in Pretoria, just around the corner from us. And you know, when you're a grandparent, then your car just sort of drives there. You know, you don't have to drive it there. It just drives there. Now my grandsons can drive, so they come and visit us as well. And then we've got the two girls down in George and our little grandbaby. And maybe I'll show you a picture of our grandbaby tomorrow, because if you're a Gigi, you're allowed to. You can show your Gigi baby. What else did you want me to say? Nothing.
That's what I've got to live with. What a joy. You're right. You're absolutely right. You know, we spent some time with Richard Jolene and some of the elders that were there, all the elders that were there last night. And we just met just to pick up their hearts. What is on their hearts? Are we all going in the same direction? Are we all looking at the goal down the road? And we want to go down that road. And we have to pick up your heart to see where you're going so that we can slot in. And this is what that relationship's all about, because we cannot do this without relationship. You know, and we believe in the relationship. And when we were offered this building to establish LL here, we were so excited. I mean, Bill and I were so excited. But when we told our team, and our team is quite a new team in the sense of we've just handed over the baton of LL Africa to the younger generation, and they felt, we're still trying to get to grips with what you're doing now, and we cannot still take on another project like establishing LL in the Cape. And we realized, man, we're going ahead of our team. And so we had to say, listen, we thank you, but no thank you, and that we tell them the reason. But when Richard and Jolene came and said, listen, they would like to start, we said, yes, in the church, wonderful, we are with you. And so that's why we just want to help get you on the road, and they're quite capable of getting yourselves on the road, but just we would like to contribute a little bit to where you're going. And so that is why we were here. You know, and what Beryl said just now, it starts with me, you know. If we serve in a ministry like having a ministry center, it's different to a church. Running, you can run them together, but that is run differently to what you would run a church. And hopefully this will come out during the weekend. But really, it starts with me. Because here in the church, we can sort of sit at the back and hide away from there. But when you start ministering to people, it's a little bit different. We're a little bit more exposed. And each one of us, we're probably where each one other one is, in the sense of, you know, we come out of a dark world. And our first step of healing is really at salvation. So it is at salvation only we can take the baby steps of learning how to be healed for ourselves. And so the healing takes place here from the Holy Spirit and from Jesus, that we can take it to the people out there. So it starts here. So often say, you know, the most important person is not the hurting person out there. It's actually us. Because if we're not healed, what are we giving the other people? So important that we need to get healed. It's so important that so that we can give out what God has given to us. And if we're not healed, we just speak out of our brokenness. And God wants us healed. So we are very excited about this project and show for Franschhoek. And particularly for another reason, that the founder of LL Ministries in the UK, Peter Horwin, his mother and father served on a farm just here in Franschhoek, just outside, down the road. Where's the road? Anyway, down this road, just about 2-3 km up the road here on the right-hand side somewhere. I'm not sure which one it is, but I know it's there. And so Peter Horwin's mother was a South African. She was a de Villiers. So it's like this circle. Just makes me. And so what we want to do this weekend is that we are from different walks of life, with different backgrounds, and we are on different stages of growth in our own personal walk. So we're going to start this weekend by going ground level. Is that okay? And doesn't matter if you already, I know this stuff. We have to go ground level so that we can all come up together and have the same thing. So please, I ask you, if you do know it, wonderful, but have patience. First thing, exercise patience. Starts with me. So we're going to be looking at the healing ministry of Jesus. Because that is where our healing comes from. And we need to understand his healing, why he came. We're going to do another teaching next time we come about why do we need healing. But we felt at this time we're just going to take a step back. And some of you that were here may have seen the teaching already of power and authority. And we're going to be looking at that because that is important. If we don't understand the fall of Adam and Eve, we will never understand the healing process that God wants to bring. So, but we'll do that next time. So, but ever since the fall of Adam, healing has been part of God's plan. Hasn't changed. Because he knew that from the time of Adam, we knew that Adam was going to fall. And he knew that there was going to be a huge consequences. And we're still living under those consequences of the fall. And so we knew this. And so he knew that one day he would have to establish a body called the church. And the church is who? I love that. Let's look at that first scripture. For you know that it was not with perishable things that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Jesus. He was chosen before the creation of the world. And I want to say, this is basics. Jesus was there before the creation of the world. He was there, and he was there at the fall. He saw Satan fall like lightning. He saw that came and tempted Eve. And then Eve had a bite, and then Adam had a bite, and then everything changed when Adam ate. And you see, from that point, we understand, or we need to understand, that it's all got to do with obedience. Because God said, do not eat from that fruit. So it's obedience that we have to live life by. Not by the ways of the world, but by the ways of God. And that's all in the scriptures. And we have actually got no excuse. Because God wasn't surprised about the fall. And he's not surprised that we are disobedient. But he gave us that free will. And he said, either we're going to do it, yes, Lord, I'm going to obey, or Lord, maybe not this time. And we go off and we follow Satan. And so it is the times that we follow Satan that things start to happen in our life. Because when we do wrong things, for instance, we are saying no to God, yes to Satan. And so when we say no to God, God, because of our free will, he backs off a little bit. He's always there with us, but actually Satan has rights. And we give him those rights. And it's important that we understand that we live by giving rights or not giving rights to the enemy. And so the relationship that we have with Father God and the relationship we have with the Son, Jesus Christ, and the relationship we have with the Holy Spirit is all important to our living. And the way that we are, if we want to see ourselves in heaven one day, it's going to be a tough fight because we have to work at our salvation with fear and trembling every day of our lives. And it's tough, but we can do it. God loves us so much. That's point number one. Point number two, he loves us, but he hates the sin. And so we have this dichotomy, I suppose, in our own lives where we say, God loves me, but he won't mind if I just do it once or twice. You see, we can do it once or twice, but I'll tell you, so often we get just hooked and get into bondage and we can't stop. And God wants us to say, get away from that. Move away from the world systems. And you see, we get confused sometimes because we see Christians with worldly actions and worldly talk, you know, and we can, when we see that, we must know these Christians are not yet mature. And so I can just think of my own life, you know, when I got saved, I had my little beers, and I took my little beers to the campsite, and because I was still drinking beer after I got saved, I love my beer, you know. Until one day the Lord did convict me and I stopped. I haven't drank for 40 years or whatever. But anyway, people around me didn't. They didn't say a thing. They were just so kind. And I looked at everybody else. Nobody is having a beer at this Hatfield Christian Church do that we had there at the driving. And I was so convicted. Anyway, I didn't stop immediately, but it came when I stopped. And now I don't drink a beer because I may be a stumbling block for somebody else. So I don't, just leave it. There's other things you can drink. Another thing is that, you know, God knows everything. You know all that. He knows everything. So how can we hide anything from God? Sort of behind a closed door, put on the computer, and go to sites that we should not go to. He knows it. Just because your neighbor doesn't know or your family doesn't know, you know, what you're doing, God knows it. And so we think we're hiding from somebody. No, it's not like that. And so I am the God that heals you from all the stuff. But it starts with me. I've got to make those choices. So that relationship with God becomes even more important. Because when we start talking about the fear of the Lord, you know, the fear of the Lord is one of those things that says, you know, it's like a little boy. And there's dad over here. I'm this little boy and I do something wrong. And dad walks in and I put it behind. Why do I put it behind my back? Because my dad loves me, but I also fear what he will say. Okay. And that is the fear of the Lord. This is by saying, you know, I know he loves me, but he doesn't want me. He would try and hide away and to do things that are wrong. And there's many examples of healing, even in the Old Testament. And one of the Old Testament healing I'd just like to share with you is Naaman. And so Naaman went down and dipped himself, you know the story, dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became like that of a young boy. Now we think, oh, he went down to the Jordan, I must go to the Jordan. You know, oh, I must go down to any river, I must dip myself 7 times. That's the recipe for being healed. No, no, no. God does it differently every time. You see, when Naaman heard about this, I must dip myself in the Jordan 7 times. I mean, can you imagine him walking down there and then sitting in the water and who's looking? And then popping up and down in the water 7 times. What am I? Am I a fool? Who's looking at me? How ridiculous. You see, it's not the water or the Jordan. It's the obedience. And that's what brings the healing. That's when we start become obedient to in life to what God wants us to do. Oh, man. Sometimes that God may ask us to do crazy things. But listen, if you know it's God, I would suggest you do it. you can do it. It doesn't matter who's watching. And so healing and restoration are fundamental to us and to God's kingdom and to his kingdom children. It's fundamental that we become healed. And I know that we can get sick and we can get things happen to us, but we still live in the fallen world. Okay, so, but God is with us. And now, I must just try and work out sometimes that we don't know why we get sick, actually. But sometimes God is there. He's always there with us, and he heals us. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, and he said, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Now, wonderful scripture. But how many times have we quoted that out of context? Oh, don't worry. By his stripes or by his wounds, you are healed. And it's not like that. It's actually by our obedience, then by his stripes we are healed. It comes, you know, why would God want to heal us if we're still in sin, in known sin? Why would God want to heal us? Because if he does heal us, well, on the pornography side, yeah, if God heals us and you say, well, God doesn't mind me watching pornography, I'm healed. And so I'll just continue. No, no, it's not going to happen. Or if you're angry at home, you know, if it's not going good with you and your attitude smells from next door, you know, it's not going to happen. So we need to work at that healing or our salvation with fear and trembling. We know the scripture and we often quote it. It's a summary, really, of the healing ministry of Jesus in Isaiah 61. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind and to release the oppressed to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, when Jesus went back to heaven, he gave the disciples, we're going to touch on it a bit later, but he gave his disciples that instruction. So it's up to us, the church, to do what Jesus did when he walked the earth. And this is a different teaching, but we actually just want to bring it on quickly about the spirit and the soul and the body, because we are made in those three different parts. And so it is in our body and our soul and our spirit that we can be defiled. And it's in all those three parts that we need healing. We can be born again, but we could still be defiled in our spirit. And so these are the things that we're going to be teaching you as we go along. I'm not sure everything this weekend, but maybe in the time to come. But I just want to throw that in because it is part of our healing process. And you just keep that, bear that in mind. And, you know, we at LR Ministries, we don't have a technique. We don't have a what do we call that thing? Method. We have to trust in the Holy Spirit in each and every situation, because each and every situation is different. It's not a tick box, tick, 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 tick. You know, run away from tick boxes, because you'll never hear the Holy Spirit if you've got a tick box. You'll never. And so I just want to encourage you that Jesus, as in Luke 9, verse 11, which is another foundational scriptures of LR. And I'd just like to give it to you because it's such a good one. In Luke 9, 11, it said, Jesus welcomed them. Well, he welcomed the people. And he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. And then he healed those who needed healing. So number one, when people come, make them welcome. If they're here for the weekend, make them welcome the whole weekend. Then you teach them about the kingdom of God. And then you bring a healing. So the welcome sort of allows people to free up a little bit and take all the nerves away and let them see that you are not super funky or super funny people. And then teach them about the kingdom of God. And then teaching and healing go hand in hand. Jesus always taught about the kingdom of God. And then he did the healing. Remember that? He always taught about the kingdom of God. And so we never go into any type of healing weekends or healing services, whatever you want to do, without teaching about the kingdom of God. Never. And another thing, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow. What happened way back? What happens today is exactly the same because he hasn't changed a bit. So, you know, when people come and say, that's olden days. No. Jesus heals today. He wants to heal today. And he's looking at his church to take up the role. And much of the church is not taking up their role to bring healing into people's lives. So I see the role of the church is to continue the work of Jesus when he walked on earth. Same thing. Got people filled with the Holy Spirit. Didn't get people filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, you did actually. But you got filled with the Holy Spirit. He preached the Gospels and he healed those who needed healing. He did deliverance. A lot of churches don't do deliverance. They've thrown half the Gospel out. They don't even talk about being born again. So I mustn't get onto that subject. So when he heals as well, heals us from the inside out. So he heals us from the hurts of the past and present, from the inside, our emotions. He brings healing into our emotions. He brings healing into the way that we see God. He brings healing into our body, and he brings healing to the abuses that we had and emotional pain, and when we teach us how to forgive, because forgiveness is the key to healing, and holding unforgiveness in our spirits is a sin. Yeah, and so you know the basics of this we'll be teaching, but he wants to bring healing to any betrayal and regrets and rejections and church, let's not sit with this stuff. Let's deal with it. And well, I spoke to Richard and Jolene about this, and I think about the elders last night, is that we're going to make the church, who's the church? We're going to make the church a safe place. People from the community don't come to the church because they're scared. If I come here, oh, do you know who was in church on Sunday? Oh, you know his problem. You tell me his problem. but it's confidential, you know. But don't tell anybody I told you. No. Gossip. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Starts with me. Get rid of it. I'm sorry. So our model is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. That's our model. That's where we look to. And you know, he went up to the hills to pray. He prayed in Matthew 40. Prayer is just so vital in bringing ourselves into that place where we become ready and ripe for God to use, where we are soft of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes Jesus took friends with him. And he took Peter and John and James with him. And he went up to the mountain to pray. And so sometimes he prayed with friends. Sometimes he prayed alone. You know, he did different things. We can do different things. But, you know, always he listened to the Father. He listened. He doesn't go, babble, 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 give me, give me, give me, give me. No, no. He listened to the Father. And the Father spoke. In actual fact, in John 5, verse 19, Jesus gave them this answer. He says, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father doing. Or there's no one that says he hears the Father doing. Bill and I have spoken about this often. How do we get to that place so we only do what we see the Father doing? We make more mistakes sometimes than anything else, but we are trying to get hold of this concept of when we make a decision, what is Father saying? When we do anything, where we go, what is Father saying? What do we see him doing? Yeah, I see. That's where we want to be. And so we've come to realize that the way we live life in righteousness, are we getting it all right? No. In holiness. Holiness is a lost word, by the way. Let's bring it back. Holiness. Let's bring it back. Doing good. Good attitudes. Being considerate. I mean, there's lots of things I can mention here. But everything, the way we live life, God looks at us and he sees us on this road of progress day by day. Make mistakes? Yes. But change. It's the renewing of the mind, getting rid of old habits and taking the word. Before I do something, what does the word say? What will God say? Or what will he think? Because that's the way we're going to come into a place. Because Jesus, in Matthew 14:14, he looked at the crowds and he had compassion on them. You see, they were like sheep without a shepherd. You know, if you just go out this gate, they are sheep without shepherds. We are the shepherds. We can be shepherds. When we go to work, there are sheep without shepherds. Be nice. You don't have to preach to them. Just say good morning on a Monday. Nicely. Good morning. How are you? Ach, what's wrong with you? You know, what's wrong with you? You know, who can be smile like this on a Monday morning? Just work in the opposite spirit and be nice to them. Always. Even if they chat you back, don't worry. But he has compassion. We've lost compassion for the lost. And we need to develop that passion again because they are right there next to us and we can make such a difference. John 10:10 says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And we can have life to the full. And you know what? We don't believe it sometimes but the word says we can have life to the full because this is key to what God wants you to do with you at this healing center and out there. You just get one person dramatically healed here, you will have the whole of Franschhoek and Stellenbosch and Cape Town come here. One dramatic healing. It'll go out all over the place. You won't be able to cope. You will phone us again and say, come and help. And I said, I'll be there. Just one dramatic healing. But it doesn't have to be a dramatic. We experience, we see healings daily at Shears. That's LL Shears. And you know what? They go and talk. God's marketing is people talking. This is what, you know, I went to this place. And you know, this is what God did. This is what happened to me. I'm different. Who did it? No, God. What? God. Yes. And they would see. And people come. And they come again. Oh, my goodness, man. Jesus loved to demonstrate the healing process. He loved it. And he taught his disciples. And eventually he had 72 of his disciples. And they sent them out. And went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. And the 72 return with joy. Why? Because even the demons So Jesus knew this was going to happen. So, you know, in Ephesians 4, verse 11, he gave us the key, and Richard touched on it earlier this evening. And Ephesians 4, verse 11, he said, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service. Now, you know, we're not looking for everybody must be a counselor. No, what we must do with so many counselors. We need somebody to wash the dishes. We need somebody to wash the toilets. We need somebody to put the chairs right. We need somebody to do the admin. And the one is as good as the other, as important as the other. And we need people to do the garden. That parking lot's going to become a garden or a tent or something. But we need a place where people can go and sit in the garden. Because that's where Jesus went. He went into the garden. So I want to see, you know, they came back with joy. So, to prepare God's people for works of service. Why? So that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach unity. And if there is no unity, there's no blessing. In faith, unity in the faith and in the knowledge, knowing, understanding who I am in Christ. So, faith and knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, not bickering and, oh, you know, you didn't think of me, you didn't mention my name, you know, that type of stuff. Attaining the whole measure. I don't know what the whole measure is, but it's the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We don't understand that. But the whole measure of the fullness of Christ would tell me that if I have the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, I'll be able to go out there and lay hands on the sick and the demons will flee and the people will get sick and they yield. But the whole measure is when I'm sitting with somebody and the Holy Spirit just pinpoints an area of somebody's life. And we deal with it. That person will say, you know, I never thought of that before. And people get set free. Just all of a sudden, revelation comes. It's marvelous, I'll tell you. But these are the things that we must learn. And I want to just look at a couple of healing encounters here that Jesus had. I don't know if you'll be able to see this one. Yeah, just take the next one. Okay. Can I just look this way because my writing is very small here. Luke 5:17. One day he was teaching. Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village. It's like all the dominies and other pastors will come from all the villages around. Yeah. And from Judea and Jerusalem, and they were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. We walked in here, and as you started worshiping, Beryl and I said, I just sense the presence of the Holy Spirit here. And worship and healing is such a powerful combination. Come into his presence. I think you must just go and visit a couple of other churches and see how good it is there. You'll come back. And you will know that the presence of God is here. Look, I'm sorry, but I'm telling the truth. It's truth. We went to a church a little while back, 15-minute service, and I don't know. Not a 15-minute message. The service was about 45, 50 minutes, and you know, I was going for lunch, you know, the rest. We need to come into that presence. We start at 9 o'clock Sunday. Don't prepare lunch. Just wait till the Holy Spirit that says, okay, you can go home now. That's church. We want to see, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. And it sometimes doesn't take a 20-minute worship service. You know, let some of your Sunday services be worship, and let it carry on to the afternoon. Some of the rural churches have got that right, you know. Just worship. Yeah, my goodness. You see, when the sick come, that guy that was led down through the roof, he was led down, and Jesus didn't say, hey man, you're breaking up this man's house. He said, come son. I know you can't get in the door because it's pretty packed in here, but come. We'll fix the roof later. Come down. And his friends led him down. And he came down there, and I tell everybody, I can just imagine the dust and the straw and everything just falling on the people. Hey, come on. My suit. You know, and they led him down. And he said, and he got, and Jesus healed him. But you know, it's the thing that happened afterwards. And he said to him, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. His faith, knowing that Jesus could do something for him, that was so, so important for Jesus to see. So Jesus forgave his sin, and it was the sin that was in this his problem, his condition. He was paralyzed because of sin. He didn't drive out demons. It was sin. And so I'm just saying to us, you know, here, just let's look at ourselves and look at the stuff inside of us that is not pleasing to God or pleasing to yourself or to your family or whatever. Let's look at that and say, Lord, help me to get rid of it because I want to serve you in spirit and in truth. And that's the truth. And it's in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not use sin to heal people. Very important scripture. Sometimes we can go to God and God will say, Lord, please forgive me. And you know, God forgives. But sometimes we go to God and we still do the same thing over and over again. Have you noticed that? I can only see year one. Yeah, it's very quiet there. We ask him to forgive us, and we just do it again. Now, the remedy for this, if you are willing, is in James 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Why is it? Because, you know, what is in here, God actually wants to expose it. So find a safe person and say, listen, I've got a problem. This is my issue. And you tell the issue. And it comes in the open. You're not going to go out there, but it's in the open. You have spoken it out to somebody here as if you were speaking to God, and you would at least, you would take it away from you. But the enemy wants to come back tomorrow or next week, and he wants you to go back to that stuff again. This is where the fight starts. And then you've got to phone him quickly and say, listen, I'm still struggling here. You know, I'm really battling. And pray again. Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. We've got to do these things. If we want to be a church that's powerful and I'm not talking about the church again. I'm talking about individuals and collectively. You know how powerful you are here. And the woman at the well is another incredible example where this woman spoke to Jesus, and there was something about Jesus that she wanted to speak to him. We must be like that. We must be like so nice to people that they want to speak to us. You know, it's nice to be around nice people. It's not nice to be around grumpy, moaning, you know, grinding through life, complaining about every government and any official, and about the municipalities and water and the electricity and whatever. Stop. Say something positive. Yes, I understand, but you know what? Let's keep our hearts right. Let's pray for our government. Let's pray for our leaders. Anyway, this woman comes to Jesus, and she didn't tell Jesus the problem. But you know what? The Holy Spirit was there. And he says, yeah, you know what? You've had five husbands, eh? You know, he exposed it. And we need that. Be careful now how you do that. I see in your eyes. You know, you are full of da-da-da-da, you know. Did anybody hear me say that? You know, that is demonic. You know, sit with the guy. And when they come for counseling, and do it at the right time. You know, just say, you know, I just sense the Lord saying da-da-da. And you always use the word sense, because you can be mistaken. And so when it was exposed, Jesus dealt with it. And the first evangelist was this woman in adultery. And she went to the village, and the whole village, who listens to a woman in adultery? And she's had five husbands. And in those days, it was, you know, it was pretty bad. Anyway, she goes there to tell the elders what's happening. And the whole lot come back, because there was something in her that changed. And that she took him up the hill and met Jesus. And he stayed there for a couple of days. And many, many people got saved and healed. You know what? That's a woman. It could be a man. And it's, you know, we've all sinned. I'm not pointing a finger at anybody, because who can point a finger at a sinner? Then you must throw the first stones. You know? What about the woman with the issue of blood? This is an interesting one. Yes, this woman with a blood condition, something like 12, was it 12 or 18 years or something? She comes and she knows that Jesus can heal him, but she's too timid, she's too shy, she's too embarrassed. Because everybody knows that this woman has got an issue, a problem. And so they keep her at bay. And she was like an outcast. And who wants to live as an outcast? And so she creeps up to Jesus and manages to get close enough and touches and his garment. We all know that story. And she didn't want to be noticed. That was the big thing. But Jesus felt this power drain out of him, turned around to this lady, and he says, "Did you touch me?" "Yes, Lord." And he said, "You are healed." And he said it in such a way that the crowd that was around heard that you are healed. You are, he calls her daughter, actually, because she was a Jewish and she was a part of the family. So let's call her a Christian. She was a Christian, so she was a deep believer in God. Maybe not a Christian in the sense that we know now, because we didn't have Christians then. They only came a little bit after us. But she was like that. And her heart was right, but she had an issue. And he said, you're healed. And he said it that everybody could hear. And the change in her, people must have seen that she was different. And then, because they heard, they could see the difference, they accepted her back into the community. He did so nicely. He didn't embarrass her, but he helped her to be restored into the community. You see, that's the way that we need to learn from the Gospels, how Jesus did things. He does it differently every time. And then the guy with that centurion, you know, he says, my servant back. And he said, "Listen, you don't have to come home, but I can understand authority. Just say the word." And Jesus said, "Man, yeah, he's a centurion. He's not even a believer. But he had faith." He had faith, and he said, "I haven't seen so much faith in Israel." Where's our faith that God could do the impossible? Oh, man. What is this one? The woman caught in adultery, and they wanted to stone her. Another one. And so they bring the woman into the open there, and everybody's got stones, and they try and test Jesus, and they say, "This woman's caught in adultery." Jesus sits down and writes in the sand. He says, "Anybody who's not sinned, you throw the first stone." Drop, 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 drop. They drop stones and they slink it away. And he says, "Now who's condemning you?" He says, "I don't condemn you." As Christians, let's not condemn people that are in sin. Let's not condemn them. Because God can heal them and wants to heal them. They've just not been told they can be healed, or they don't believe they can be healed. Let's not condemn those. So the next step, after he says, "I don't condemn you. Just go now, live life, but don't do this anymore." You see, we have to get up sometimes and walk out of here. And the stuff that we've been doing, we've got to make decisions. Don't do it anymore. Don't do it. And if you can't do it because there's a demon driving you, get rid of it. Let somebody come and minister to you. But we never drive out. We drive out demons at hell, but driving out demons is part of a cake. You know, in a cake you put the flour, what is, come and help me, flour, sugar, egg, juice, what, oil, oh yeah. You know, if you leave one or two of those ingredients out, you have a flop of an egg. And some people want to do deliverance and don't. Deliverance is part of the cake, it's not the whole cake. And so what we do, we sit with the person and say, "Now how did this happen, you know? What has happened in the past? You know, just look at the abuse when you were kids, you know." And we go through the life and we bring people from healing from way back. The last thing we do is drive our demons. Because if you don't heal the inside, the pain of the abuse, the pain of the betrayal is still there. And so we try and get as much of the ingredients of the cake as possible. Now, to do all these things takes time to learn. Don't be in a hurry to say, yeah, I'm going to start now, or da-da-da. Just take time to learn the principles of God and what he wants to do. And I would like to end off. And I would like to put up the Lordship prayer. I would like for everybody here, anybody that would like to stand and say this Lordship prayer. Now, the Lordship prayer is making Jesus Lord of every area of our lives. It's not been born again. That's not that. But if you're not born again, then come forward and we'll pray for you and we'll help you to get born again. You can do that afterwards. But we'd like to offer you an opportunity just to say this prayer. If you don't like the prayer, you don't say it. But if you want to, if you're serious with God and want to take the first steps of being of vital importance into the kingdom of God, if you haven't done this before, this is an opportunity for you to do that. Is that okay with you? All right. Okay. Let us stand together and say the prayer together then. I would normally read it out first, but we just don't have the time for that. So if you don't like it, then just don't say it. Okay, let's say it together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you died for me and paid the penalty for my sins. I acknowledge my need of you and accept you as my Savior, my Deliverer, and my Lord. I invite you to be the Lord, the authority in the whole of my life, Lord of my human spirit and all my spiritual awareness and worship, Lord of my mind, my attitude, my thinking, my beliefs, and my imagination, Lord of my emotions and all, Lord of my will and all my decisions. I invite you, I think we skipped one there, did we? And its expression, Lord of my work and my time, Lord of my family, my marriage, my home, my relationships, and my material goods and all my needs. Lord of my life and the timing of my physical death. Lord of my body, my behavior, my exercise, my diet, my rest, and my appearance. Lord of my emotions and all my actions. Lord of my will and all my decisions. Lord of my future, my plans, my ambitions, and all my expectations. Thank you, Jesus, that your blood was shed, that I may be free from the punishment due to my sins, and that my name is written in the book of life. Amen. Amen. Father God, I just want to thank you, Lord, that we say this prayer, we say it from the bottom of our hearts. Lord, we want to just tell you, Lord, that we mean every word that we spoke. We want you, Lord, to be Lord of every area of our lives. Father God, we want to come before you, Lord, and just acknowledge, Lord, that we're not perfect. We've made many mistakes. And Lord, we want to say sorry. And Lord, I want to ask you, Lord, to help us, Lord, and to change and renew my mind, to be able to do things differently. Not the world's way, but your way. Give me the strength, Lord, to say no to Satan and every demonic force that's against us and against you. Lord, we want to be kingdom kids. We want to be effective in your kingdom. We want to do the work of Jesus that he did on earth. Lord, I know this is a walk. It's not going to come instantly, but that's our goal. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you be with Richard and Jolene and the elders, Lord, and the teams here, Lord, and all those that are supporting them now to establish this exciting venture and project of, I don't want to call it a project, but Lord, a God-given God-given instruction. That's it. Thank you. To be able to put this together. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that step by step, we do this in prayer and fasting and with the help of all your angels to guard this work as we rebuild the walls. And Father, we just say thank you for what you can still going to be doing. We look forward to the future when this becomes a mighty force in your kingdom. We ask us in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Okay, before you sit down, Jolene, can I hand over to you, or Richard, whoever. I would like you just to get into groups of three or four. No more, three or four. And just ask the Lord, what was significant for you? What touched you this evening? Okay, just what came up for you? And you don't have to report back. Just go and express what God is saying to you.
Amen. Yes. Let's respond. We're nearly done. And we'll have some fellowship afterwards. But the important part is responding. There's a word that's gone out, a challenge that's gone out. And now it's like Beryl said, it starts with me. We can have another teaching, but let's not just have another teaching. Let's take this and make it our own. Let's tie it down. Let's walk out of your changed people. And so there's been, like I said in the beginning, I think it was a bit prophetic, there's little gold nuggets that are lying around everywhere, and they're all different. And Jesus knows which one you need. Maybe you're the one that's sitting with maybe a hidden sin that you've never shared with anybody, and it's binding you, and it's stripping you of your authority in Christ. Maybe you're going to, for the first time, share with somebody tonight, or whatever. All those healing encounters, they were all different stories. But they were all there for you tonight. And so it's a little bit like a la carte menu. There's something for everybody tonight to respond to. And so let's break up into groups of two or three. Let's try and keep it mostly same sex. And then let's just ask, like Derek said, let's just ask, what stood out for you? And then we pray for one another and we bless one another. Is that all right? Amen. And then we'll close it off. Okay, let's do that. Let's get some space and then we pray for one another.